Our psalm meditation today will be Psalm 51. We'll read that responsively in our New King James Bibles. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Amen. Okay, Psalm 51 we have here is a pretty well-known psalm. It's one of the Psalms of David, of course. And here we have one of the more particular times in David's life. Of all the psalms, it tells us specifically what was going on when he wrote it. This was, of course, after David had fallen into sin with Bathsheba. And we'll look at that a little bit more this afternoon. And after he had committed that sin, after Nathan had come to him and told him brought him to understand what he had done. This is David's prayer then, David's prayer of repentance. It begins, of course, with the "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies." We have a plea for God to forgive, not based on anything that David did, obviously, not based on anything David promises to do. The only plea that David has is for God to have mercy based on the covenant of grace. It's not "do this and I'll do these things for you," but "do this according to you, according to your mercy, according to your loving kindness, the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We have three things here: to blot out, or to cover over completely, to wash me, and to cleanse, wash me thoroughly and to cleanse me. To scrub at the sin, to remove it from our life, to cover it from our record, is the prayer of David. And of course, as we sin, this is what we should ask for, that God will forgive in mercy. And the reason for this, what have we done? What has David done? This is something that people have had problems with. People don't understand completely, and I'm not going to be able to help you understand completely. But we'll look at it some. Against you, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. One of the problems in the church today, one of the problems in individual Christians today, and of course a problem with those who don't know God today, is that we don't truly understand the nature of God and the nature of sin. When I offend against one of you, both parties tend to think that I have sinned against you, and that the offense is against you, and that the relationship between you and I is the one that's the problem, and that God will then judge my actions based on what I've done to you, and what you deserve, and what I didn't give you. And that's not the case. Now, that's true that those things exist, but that's not the primary problem. I was just discussing with someone else on the internet today, housebound lady that you've heard me pray for so often. And she's got a problem that involves with dealing with some other Christians, and she couldn't quite put her finger on what's so disturbing about it. And the problem, as I explained to her, and I hope she took some comfort from it, I haven't gotten a response from her, is that the issue is that the people are thinking in a man-centered way. That sin is about me and what you've done to me. That repentance is about you making me feel better. That the gospel is about God saving me and working things out for my good. And we don't take view of what it means to the Father. We don't take view of what sin is against the holiness of God. Is it true that you only, David, against God only, David sinned? Well, no, he sinned against Bathsheba and he sinned against Uriah. But by comparison, the sin against the holiness of God is by far the most. The sin was against the holiness of God, the commandments of God, the character of God, against the grace that God had given David, against the salvation that God had given David, and that it was against the Creator, the covenant Lord, that the sin was the greatest. And that these things would be seen, these things would be shown, so that God would be found just when He speaks and blameless when He judges. He's not going to judge between David and the other people. He's going to judge David against the standards of his own holiness. And that's a weakness, again, in the church and in people in the church. That if we really apprehended the holiness of God, and that we are His, we carry His name, we're bought with Jesus' blood, and that our sin is a sin against God, not we didn't quite do as good as we could have, but that we spat in God's face. That's what we don't understand. Now, verse 5 here sounds like an excuse, but it's not. This isn't David trying to get out of trouble. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. He's not saying that it's not his fault, that he was made this way and you can't blame him. Yeah, I'll leave that one. There's a lot of things in here that people think about, you know. Well, David's saying that he was born in sin, so it's not his fault. Or people saying that having children is sin, that sex is sin, and that's some of the teachings of other churches. But the point here is that David is confessing his sinfulness from birth. He's confessing that he is unworthy of the mercy of God. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. He's saying that it's deep inside that cleanliness belongs. It's deep inside where God desires truth, the hidden parts, that God will act on the inner man to give him wisdom. Again, in verse 7 and on, David is speaking of purging, of cleansing. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. This points to some of the Old Testament ceremonies. And again, you can't understand the Psalms of the New Testament if you don't understand those boring old books of Leviticus and Numbers. You need to know what they're talking about. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. We see here again a picture of removal of sin, not of God ignoring it. We don't see any idea here that God loves you just as you are. David's saying, get rid of the guilt and get rid of the sin as well. Make me hear joy and gladness when the sin is taken away from me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. We're not just saved from our sins to continue on our path. We're saved with a job to do. That is to teach others of the salvation of God, the love of God, and the mercy of Him. In verse 14 on, we see more. Delivered from what? Delivered to something. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. We are saved not just for our own purposes, but that we might praise God, both to give Him worship and to bring others to Him. Verse 16 and 17, again, we see proof that the Jews of the Old Testament understood the sacrificial system, at least David did. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. All of you, or any of you, who are still looking on what you can bring to God to buy your own salvation or to make you acceptable to Him, understand what David's saying here. Understand what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's not what you bring, it's what you are. The broken heart, the repentant heart, is all that He wants. There's no amount of prayers or good deeds or anything that you can do, and none that you have to do. God's mercy is in grace, not paid for by human activity. And finally, do good in your good pleasure design. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. We are saved to a life in the church, a life of bringing worship to God. Here we have Old Testament imagery. But the bottom line is, when we're saved, we're restored to a right relationship with God. It's not just that, oh, now we don't have to burn in hell. It's now that we're friends with God again, and with one another, and with the church, that we can have a productive life and bring God the worship that He truly desires. Not animal sacrifice, but love, praises sung to Him, prayers, dependence on Him, and understanding who He is in our lives. Psalm 51 is a psalm during the very lowest point of David's life. Great sin, great punishment came from it. It was a horrible time. But we see in Psalm 51 a reliance on God, a trust in the Lord, and a knowledge that God's grace will cover over sin. David didn't have to buy it. He didn't have to earn it. He just had to ask. Anybody here that currently feels themselves kept apart from God, whether you're a Christian or not, this psalm is a psalm for you. What does God require? What does He desire? Repentance and a heartfelt reliance upon Him.